God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Well, good morning, evening, friends, as Stevie Wonder would say, and this being morning, and I'm hovering above the nations of uncertainty and anxious suspension, located somewhere in the mind which encompasses everything. I was thinking of letting the radio show go this week as I was pressed to get it together to leave on my trip, finally getting on my way, which hasn't been easy lately. And then I thought, why should I do that? People actually come here to listen to the show, and why can't I find half an hour somewhere to take care of it? It's really selfishness and a disconnect from those who give me their attention, and I refuse to accept that as being a reality. There's good reason for this, but you can overdo it. And so here I am, getting something out to you because I will be in Italy and not in a position to, well, interact or say much or write any blogs for a little bit until I get myself arranged here. As you're listening to this, I'm in La Bella Italia at the moment, and the long-awaited Italian trip seems to be in progress. It's been weeks now since I planned to be getting out of here, and each day something seems to intrude to stop me. There's always been the sense that something's about to happen, and I need to wait it out here. As recently as just a few days ago, I was pondering not going at all and just staying here because it seems so difficult to get a move on. But there are realities that have to be dealt with at the house in Italy. Mold comes in if the house is left all locked up for too long and really becomes a bit of a problem to deal with. There are all the olives waiting for harvesting that I, for some reason or another, makes me feel really bad not having taken care of them. And the new Shangri-La now has over 3,000 members. Well, I'll be visiting that site a lot more now and commenting more once I am set up here. But the idea that a community is really starting to form, even though it is only virtual at the moment, is a very positive and heartening sign, and I feel like going to Italy is part of it. I have a number of people coming to visit me there around Christmas, my friend Glenn and Imran and some other people, and it will be a pleasure for me to be able to show them around in this rather magical countryside, and I am in a position to go. Why shouldn't I go? So, ergo, I am going to go. And some sort of a helicopter is buzzing overhead here. Perhaps they're going to be transmitting to me telepathically on the highway. yes, indeed. Anyway, something has been in the wind for a while. I can hear it whispering about transformations and transitions, but the events are being kept off stage, probably because those who wish to launch them can't predict how it's going to impact on the public mind, and whether or not this time they'll get caught. There's been no terror activity in decades that was not initiated by Israel, England, and Washington, D.C. And the main impetus for all of it has come from the former, a first name mentioned. Well, we are in the apocalypse, which is the Greek word for revelation. It is a time of unveiling when we shall see, whether we like it or not, we will be awakened, whether we will like it or not. And as we are awakened, we are to see what has been going on behind the scenes. And this is another thing that is inhibiting those who have been preying upon and enslaving us for so long. They know it's the apocalypse. Even whether or not they do believe in what some of us believe in is irrelevant. They know something's going on, and they know there's a force they have to contend with, which they don't quite understand. But for most of them, when they do believe in God, it's actually the devil, because the devil is the way the wicked see God. If you're basically an evil person or a person devoted to accomplishment of self-interest, taking care of number one and all of your personal desires to the exclusion of any consideration for others, well then, you see the devil as God. If you are different than that, or shall we say opposite to that, you see God as God. Well, you don't see him at all, but you do see him in the positive and benefic light. And what can I say? There's only one force, God and the devil. Same force, different applications. There's only one God, one divine, and everything, you know, even like in India where you see all of these multiplicities of gods, or if you go back to the Greek and Roman myths and you see these gods that represent the archetypes and attributes of the divine, all of them are expressions of the single one force. Now, these archetypes or attributes, they represent ways in which the divine expresses itself, or ways in which the divine holds the infrastructure of existence together, or the way that existence is proliferated and made fruitful, as it were, through the male and female principles and the progeny. We might think of Osiris, Isis, and Horus. And you might look at that, triangle. What is that? Triangle, yeah, I guess. Is it Pythagorean? Well, I can't remember. And it's not important. You'll figure it out. Anyway, that triangle tells you a lot about certain things having to do with existence and, insights that you can have in terms of how to get a better relationship to it in a more cosmic sense. Bringing me to the point that I'd like to talk about this morning, and that is related to a number of letters I have received in recent times and comments at the blogs where readers will say they don't understand my optimism. They appreciate it, et cetera, et cetera. But they don't understand how I can happen to feel the way I do, and yet they come to the blogs and they read what gets said there. And that makes me a little curious, because I would think that it had all been explained many, many times. But let us try it one more time and see if this may transmit. There is the divine. The divine is a reality. The divine is not a myth or a fantasy. It's more real than we are. It's more real than anything our senses tell us. It is the thing upon which all of the other things rest. It is the reality upon which all of the fantasy, quasi-reality, and occasional realities have their basis, and without it, there would be none of this, period. Ergo, it is in complete control of everything. It is omnipresent because it makes up everything. Everything is composed out of its body, so it's in everything. It's omnipresent. It's also omniscient because it created everything. It has complete insight into everything as it is, what it is, its potential, possibilities, and the rest. It designed this entire structure of existence for particular reasons, and different planets for particular types of experience. On Earth, it's sort of, as I've said before, a basic training situation in which people make a series of choices, take various actions, pursue certain agendas and desires or appetites, and see over the course of lifetimes where the validity and profit lies within these things. So, since there is a divine, and the divine is in complete control of everything, why shouldn't I be optimistic? The divine is a benevolent force. It is the only force, and all other force is borrowed from that force, including all the force that evil uses. So when you look around and you see very evil things going on, because this is a dark age and is allowed a certain amount of latitude in order to test those of us who are in the midst of it, well, you can be sure that force can be removed at any time. Now, those of you who have read The Lord of the Rings know that when the ring went into Mount Doom and the forces of Minas Tirith and the rest of the free world were outside the gates of Mordor, all of a sudden all the servants of Mordor lost their minds and went running off in all different directions because there was no longer a cohesive consciousness holding them together. This is exactly how it works. So even though the forces of what we call evil, relative evil, or that which, you know, we can look around and say, well, that's just probably not correct. Even though its forces appear to be very strong at the moment due to the power of appearances, they are in fact not powerful at all, only have the appearance of power, and only have power for long as it is granted to them. That can be removed at any time. This is an assurance you should have. You've got to remember that you're in a movie. This is a movie. This is a play. Play your part. Seek within yourself to find out what you essentially and most completely are and be that. Don't vary from it, okay? You're always being watched. You're always on stage. Get over this whole uncertainty issue and this, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. Fine. Don't know. But go inside your mind and empty out everything that's in there, and then whatever is real is what will remain. Empty your mind. Snort like a serpent blowing air out of its nose, or like a cobra. Yeah, like that. And every time a thought comes into your mind, cast it out till your mind becomes empty and is held in that state. From there, you will learn things about the mind that will allow you to proceed differently than you have so far. Because you will start to understand that there has been a war going on in your mind, which you have constantly been losing. And the war inside your mind influences your heart and influences the way the world outside reacts to you and the conditions that you're put into, which test you in the direction of bringing you to this very point I'm talking about, which is becoming the master of the conflict or war within. So why not accelerate or cut to the chase and get past all of this now, instead of just going on and on and on with it until you get really old and you have to have the TV on all the time and the radio running all the time because you can't be alone with your thoughts and you're in constant apprehension of approaching death because you have no rudder and you have no anchor and you don't know really where you're going. And, you know, you see it. Go around and look at old people, study them. Go around and look at young people, study them. Everything you need to learn is everywhere around you to be seen at any time. But if your whole life is based around grabbing a sandwich on the run and eating it as you walk down the street with no grace and no gratitude, no blessing because you don't bless your food and because you have no sense of your creator, and I can understand that if you're upset about religion, but throw religion out the window, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Religion, okay. Well, we see where that is in these times, so have a direct connection, as I like to think that I do and am working on even more so. Seek the presence. Excuse me. Something seems to have gotten into my throat in the process of taking a breath. Anyway, I think you get the drift of what I'm saying. Empty your mind out, and what is real will remain, and operate from there, okay? And fear, what is fear? Fear is not knowing what the thing you are based upon is, because that dispels fear. Fear is a separation or uncertainty between you and the thing that holds you together. That means that you are at odds with the thing that holds you up and supports you. And you shouldn't be. Investigate what it is about your behavior, the way you think and the way you act, that has separated you from this complete, perfect, and eternal thing. Well, what might it be? Look. Look. Naste Sotan. Isn't that what it says? Know thyself. Proper study of mankind is man. Look into yourself and find out what's there. That is the job you're to be employed in. If you're running around chasing sensation, not even knowing how to enjoy the things you come up against anyway, because you won't let the Creator teach you how to go about doing these things, well, then, of course, that's what you're going to be involved in, and you're going to, like, build your own empires in your head. Some will be successful, some won't. And at the end of it, you'll realize it's worthless and has no real point, but you'll be holding on to it so dearly because it defines you. Don't let that be what defines you. Let what is within you and eternal define you, and it will make you eternal. You have no idea, like the Bible says. No one knows what blessings and et cetera, et cetera, are stored up for those who love God. All right? Well, it looks like it's about time for me to take off again, and I am grateful that I went ahead and did this instead of just mailing it in and you listening to something from a couple weeks ago. Anyway, I'll see you next week, if there is one, and aloha, as is usual, and don't let me forget to say, and also my love to you as well. Aru!
The morning when the sun is rising, God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.